Today's scripture reading comes from Mark 9:30-37 and can be found on page 1001 of your pew Bible. They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these children, little children, in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." This is the word of the Lord.
I think it's important that we understand the very first thing that happens in this passage, and that is that Jesus, once again, for the second time, teaches them that he must be handed over to men, that he will be killed, and that he will be raised from the dead after 3 days. That sets the tone, that sets the theme for what happens in this passage. That is what Jesus is teaching when he teaches us about being servants. He's using himself as an example. Let me tell you what's going to happen to me. I will be handed over. I will be killed. The disciples are afraid to ask a question about that. This sermon, for the most part, will be about being a servant to others. I want you to leave with that understanding. I want you to leave with that thing in your head, that Jesus expects me to be a servant to others. In fact, he says, to all others. Hang on to that, because I want to talk about something else first. This is something that's in the text that's almost like, to me, almost like an itch I need to scratch before I get on to the main topic. It's a thing about asking questions. The disciples were afraid to ask Jesus. They did not understand what he had just said, and they were afraid to ask him. It might be that they were afraid to ask him because the topic seemed threatening to them. They didn't want to know anything more about Jesus being handed over and killed. What did that say about them and what might happen to them? Maybe that's why they were afraid. I think they might also have been afraid for a reason that we are familiar with. Maybe they thought, maybe I'm supposed to understand this. Maybe he's already told us and I've forgotten. I'd rather, I'm thinking they thought to themselves, I'd rather look like I understand. I'd rather be ignorant than look ignorant. So they don't ask. Later on in the passage, they will again not respond to an inquiry from Jesus because they had been talking about something they were embarrassed about. Once again, they do not ask a question, or they do not respond to Jesus' question. I want to talk to you for a little bit about questions. More than anything else, I want to encourage you to ask questions. If you do not understand, ask a question. There are some questions that are very difficult, possibly impossibly difficult to answer. Theologians and thinkers have over the centuries wrestled with the question of why is there evil. No one's ever come up with a final, conclusive, all-convincing answer to that. There are questions about which we do not have the answers. We have sort of answers. There are some questions that cannot be answered. Nonetheless, you ought to ask the questions. You ought to be confident in God's revelation, in God's word, in God himself, to ask questions. If you are asked a question about what it means to follow Jesus Christ, about some teaching in Scripture, some important doctrine, or some important understanding of Scripture, you ought to try to answer that as best you can. Or you ought to feel free to say, you know, I don't know. That's okay. I don't know. Let me think about it. You ought to be able to say that. You ought to feel free to say that. From my position, I would say to you, don't say, well, let me ask the pastor. Go ask the pastor. Nah. You work with it, especially if it's your kids. If your kids ask you a question, do what you can to answer the question, and by all means, create an atmosphere where they can ask questions. Even if you have to come back to them and say, you know, I'm not sure I have an answer for that. Here's what I've done. Here's where I've looked. Here's what I thought. Here's who I've asked. I don't have a complete answer for you, but I'm glad you asked. Let's keep working on this. Questions are good. Questions are part of life. If somehow in your relationship with other people, again, especially with your children, if you convey the sense that you ought not to ask questions, you're conveying the sense that I'm not sure the faith is true. It's okay to ask questions. The disciples were afraid. They didn't ask questions. I think Jesus wanted them to ask questions. You know why I say that? Well, it's a general truth. But when Jesus says, what were you arguing about? And the disciples don't say anything. And after just after they were afraid to ask questions, what does Jesus do? Mark says, sitting down, he called the disciples to him. Sitting down is the posture of a teacher. It's kind of like Jesus says to them, come here. Let me tell you something. He answers their question. If we have questions, and we all do, the response of Jesus Christ, the response of God Almighty, the response of the Holy Spirit is, come here, let's talk. Jesus will not say to you, don't ask questions. Don't ask that question. Jesus sits down and talks to the disciples. What does he say to them? They had been arguing about who was the greatest, and Jesus knows that. So he teaches them that the greatest are those who are servants of all. Let me say some things about that. First of all, notice that Jesus says, servants. If this were to be translated literally and sort of extremely, it would be slaves. But that would be, I think, too off-putting, and for good reason. Servants is a good translation. You must be servants of all. Servants of all. On the face of it, that sounds intimidating, impossible, impractical. But let me say it this way, and maybe this will help. When Jesus says to us, you must be servants of all, part of what he's saying is, no one is excluded. No one is disqualified. You are not given the privilege or the right of saying, you know, I'm not serving that person. I'm not serving that kind of person. So-and-so has treated me poorly. I'm not going to serve that person. Jesus, when he says to us that we, as his followers, must be servants of all, he is telling us no one in our lives is disqualified from being served by us, by you, by me. So what does it look like to serve others? It might be that the sort of images that pop into your head when Jesus says this are images like Mother Teresa. It might be people who risk their lives in sharing the gospel with their people in their culture. It might be some other example of someone who makes a great sacrifice to serve others. And those are all great examples. I would offer you these possibilities. If you want to serve others, I suggest to you that you take the approach that you want others to succeed. You want to do all that you can to help others succeed, to look good, to do their best, not enjoy their miscues, not enjoy their failures, but wish them, want them, serve them in such a way that they are able to do their best. My father-in-law, who passed away some years ago, was a pianist. And he was a really, really good pianist. He would often accompany singers, and he would do it in such a way, and he had the philosophic understanding of his role as a pianist, that his whole point was to make the singers sound good as they can. If in any way he became the center of attention, and he could have because he was really good, he would have thought to himself, he failed. We, you and I, serve others. We do what we can to make them, let them look good. Second, we serve others by speaking well of them. A simple way to serve others. Speak well of them. You get the opportunity to talk about someone, whatever it might be, for whatever the occasion is. You're in a group and you're talking about so-and-so for whatever reason, good or bad. You speak well of that person. And in that way, you serve that person. Even if that person has hurt you, offended you, even if others are criticizing that person and you somehow agree with what they're saying, you don't take part in it. You speak well of that person. To serve that person. Remember, Jesus has said, serve all. No one's disqualified. I forgot to tell you, that's why he brings up children. That's why this whole thing about the child comes up. This is not a passage where Jesus teaches us to be like children. He does that somewhere else. This is, you see this child? This child in this society, let me expand on that. This child has no power. In some ways, this child has no place. In that culture, it's not like our culture. In that culture, children were indeed not to be heard, they were to obey. And the investment in them was cautious. Why? Because they died a lot, often. People were careful investing their lives in their children or children. Jesus takes his child and he says, you see this child? This person with no standing in our society? You accept this child. You serve this child. Everyone is to be served. No one is disqualified. How to be servants to others. How about this one? Surrender to each other. I have a specific story in mind. I think it was in 2008. I was serving on the selection committee that was looking for a new president of the covenant. And we had... I think we've interviewed like 10 or 12 people. And then when we were all done with the interviews, the chair said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to read each name. We'll talk about the person. And then we'll take a vote. And the vote will be, yes or no, are you willing to let go of this candidate? So we did that a couple times. And then one of the people on the committee said, do you all understand what we're doing here? In this process, the way we're doing it, in this process, we are surrendering to each other. We will have people we want to have hold this position. But we're saying in this vote, if the majority does not, I surrender. I surrender that candidate. Then this person said, and that's a good thing. I'm worried, though, that when we get down to the final two candidates, we will not be willing to surrender to each other. As it happened, we got down to two candidates. We talked. We voted. And two-thirds were required to nominate someone. And in the covenant, the nominating committee is, in fact, the electing committee. There are no other candidates. So it was a serious matter. Anyway, that came down to two. We took the vote, didn't get two-thirds. We talked about it some more, and then we took a vote again. And people, in fact, were willing to surrender to each other. And the vote was nearly unanimous on one candidate. If we're going to serve all, we must be willing to surrender to each other, to others. That surrender may take all kinds of different forms. It may be as simple as our place in line. It may be our willingness to not scream at another driver, I surrender to your discourtesy. I surrender to you in the choice you have made for a spouse. I'm uncomfortable with this, but I surrender to you. If we're to be servants to others, all others, if no one is disqualified from being served by us, all of us, then we need to be willing to surrender. One more thing. Well, maybe two more things. In order to serve others, we must be willing to be nobodies. Again, I have a specific story to tell you. A child comes to see the school nurse because her tummy is upset. The nurse talks to the child for a while and determines, you know, there's probably nothing wrong physically with the child, and then says, you know, is something bothering you? And the child says, yes, there is. But I promised my mom I wouldn't tell anyone. And the nurse says, and you don't want to break your promise to your mom, right? Yeah, that's right. I'm sure your mom didn't know how much pain this would cause you. And then the child can't hold it back, and then just it floods out of her. My parents are getting a divorce. And she begins to talk about all the fights and the shouting that's going on in the house. And then the child says, it's so good to tell somebody. And telling you, she says to this nurse, and telling you, it's like telling nobody. To serve other people, there are times and opportunities for us and responsibility to be nobodies. And what I mean by that is that we, in serving others, need to be people who can be trusted. You want to serve others? Then become a person that others can tell their needs to, their hurts to. And then when they tell you these things, they know you can that you can be trusted. You're not going to go and gab about it to anyone else. They can give it to you and leave it with you because you are trustworthy. I think in terms of our lives, I think the sort of things I've described today are the things that are available to us in serving others. You know, maybe someone here will be called to go to India and serve the poor of the streets, or maybe someone here will be called to serve in some other obviously sacrificial way. But most of us, as we serve other people, as we serve the people in our lives, of whom no one is unqualified to be served, it's this sort of thing. Listening, being available, being present, speaking well. Things we can do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the willingness of Jesus to sit down and call us to himself and listen to our questions. Thank you for the privilege he gives us to be servants to all. Remind us, Father, that no one is disqualified from being served by us, each of us. Remind us, Father, that it is a privilege. And we can all do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated.